loading up, Uber black Cadillac, high heel boots and a sexy body full of tats. Baby's bad, oh baby's hella bad. After her there ain't no coming back. Wanna take a run at that? I think she's feeling me. Turn it up a few degrees.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Beyond the Rider, episode 47. Happy Wednesday with my special guest, the man that eats crowns, Marine Rider. What's up, sir?
Hey, that's a hell of an introduction, man. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah,
I should have added the man with now the coolest bike in the at least Pennsylvania area.
Oh, but, I don't know about that, man.
Damn.
One of the many, man.
You are bringing it. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show, Denver. Denver's taking another PTO day, so my lawyers will be in touch. It's going to be another Johnny Depp, Amber Heard situation, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, we'll fight through it, man.
We'll get beyond it. So what's going on, sir?
Hey, can't complain, man. Just got back from bike night at the VFW. Made it in time for this
nice.
Live stream.
How's the VFW? Everything good?
Everything turned out. They had 25, 30 bikes show up, so that's better than it has been, so that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, weather here is, well, we were talking about it this morning, weather here has been kind of touch and go, so that's great.
Yeah, glad this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, this morning it was rainy, drizzly, kind of in and out. Like you said when we talked earlier, that type of rain that pisses you off because it's not really raining, but it's kind of raining. So
yeah, exactly.
But it cleared out at about 1 o'clock, got sunny and about 72 here. So I think people decided to finally come out. So it was nice. And from my chapter, we kind of went there to support them. So there was about 10 of us that showed up. So
very nice. So yep. In the side chat, we got, man, everybody's here. Ken's here. Dallas is here. Sinister's here. HD Vibe's in the house. What's up, HD Vibe? And Sinister Clutch is here. So guys, welcome. Thank you so much for joining our live stream. Roy's here. Roy apparently took. Roy may have taken a beating a few minutes ago, but that's all right. Roy's a good sport, so you know.
You guys been going back and forth a bit, man.
Well, you know, you're gonna trash me on YouTube. You gotta expect it. You know, you gotta expect to feel my wrath.
You guys kicking a little rivalry action right there.
I think it's good for numbers, right? We start a war that's all just based in nonsense, and you know. We run the numbers up.
Man, people love that drama, man. They love it.
Yeah,
whether it's fake or whether it's real drama or fake, it doesn't matter. People love it.
Roy hangs out with Motor Noggin, so it's probably real drama. But, you know, we're not.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, you know, and we got Dallas, who's now a supermodel. So he's had a falling out with Droop, and it's just been a weird day. Let's hey, Tiger, how you doing?
What you drinking, man? A big ass thing of water.
It's a big thing of water. You got to stay hydrated.
You got to stay hydrated, buddy. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I can go like weeks without drinking these, and then I get this urge, and I have to like guzzle these things. So I don't know. It's probably good for me, or maybe it's not. I don't know. What's going on there, Nomad Matt? So welcome, everybody. So yeah, so we have Marine Rider today. I'm very very grateful you can make this show, sir. I appreciate your service to our country as always. That's a busted knuckle. Hold on, I gotta put this up on the screen.
Yep, my definitely.
Favorite crown connoisseur.
Hey, man, I'll tell you which ones are the best and which ones suck.
Yeah, that's too funny. So I guess let's start out with give us a little bit. Tell us about who you are, what you ride, where you're from.
Okay.
What's your opinion on Roy? Do you like Roy? Do you not like Roy?
I'm still on the fence.
That's fair. That was a good answer. That way, you know, nobody gets upset at you.
Right. So my name is Grant. I'm originally grew up right outside of New Orleans, Louisiana. And
Wait, say it one more time.
People love when I say New Orleans. I grew up right outside New Orleans, Louisiana, down the bayou. And So, I grew up down there and never rode growing up. You know, it's tough to ride down there where I grew up. Four-wheelers, kind of dabbled with that a little bit. But I was heavy into sports. I was a football player and I boxed. I started boxing when I was 10 years old and then kind of went all the way through until I did join the military. So, never was around never was around motorcycles growing up, but I joined and after growing up down there, I joined the Marine Corps when I was 19, and I just kind of wanted to get away from home, get the hell out of Dodge. So I joined the Marine Corps in 98 and went to boot camp out in San Diego. So I'm a Hollywood Marine. If you didn't know, there's a little bit of a rivalry between Paris Island Marines and San Diego Marines. So they tend to call us Hollywood Marines.
Is that a little different? Do you get like spa days and stuff or?
Nah, I would say not. I don't recall any spa days. I remember getting yelled at and kicked in the ass a couple times, but, so I grew up, I joined the Marine Corps, at 19, went to San Diego, then, went to school of infantry, became a grunt. So if you didn't know what a grunt is, it's, you know, guys with the guns on the ground. And after I got back from my first deployment is when I was introduced into, motorcycles. And I started off, a couple of guys in my platoon rode and they were like, "Hey man, you gotta get a bike, dude. You gotta get a bike." I was like, "I don't know, man. I don't know about these things." So, and I did take the MSF course on Camp Pendleton. Back when was very good course. Did learn how to ride and got into the sport bike world. So I started on a Honda CBR 600 and great bike. Loved rolling up and down to PCH in Southern California and just
That'd be a great ride.
Ripping around and for a while there, living in Southern California, that was my only means of transportation. So. And you could pretty much get away with that down there for the most part.
Sure.
So
what was that experience like going from, you know, being a Bayou kid to going to, that had to be culture shock and then some, I would think.
It was culture shock and a half. I mean, back when that accent was as strong as Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher. It's pure quality H2O.
So people were like, "Does anybody know what the hell this guy is saying? I can't understand the words coming out of your mouth." So it took me, it was a culture shock for all parties involved because, when I spoke, people were like, where the hell is this guy from? And, it was a culture shock. The fast pace, move, get out of the way, that took some adjustment right there. But the Marine Corps kind of worked that in anyway, because Marine Corps was like fast paced, like hurry up and move, hurry up and go. And so that kind of broke me of any culture shock I had as far as the fast paced environment I lived in SoCal.
Okay.
So
that had to be an interesting experience. So how did you, in Louisiana growing up, how did you spend your time? Like what did you do? I mean, you were into boxing, but did you spend much time on the water?
Oh yeah, we lived swimming in a bayou, fishing, more fishing. Grew up just heavily fishing. Nice. So we'd fish almost 4 or 5 days a week.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yep.
That's a culture I've always been fascinated with. I think that's the music and the culture is just fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
So you go out to California, you get your taste of, I guess, the bigger world, if you will. So you bought a bike. How was that for you? I mean, did you instantly fall in love? Was it just means for transportation at that point?
No, it was instant love. I mean, that thing was amazing and had a lot of power. You know, I would say 600 sport bike can be a good starter bike. If you know how to control the power, the throttle and all that. I did lay that bike down a few times, so yeah, I see you busted knuckle. So then I didn't think that was enough. So I said, let's go get a 1000R. So I upgraded to that and I rode that for quite a few years as well. So
nice.
Yeah.
So you spent most of your service on the West Coast, I assume, or did you get back home too much or?
Yeah, so interesting enough, I re-enlisted, and when I re-enlisted, part of the bonus was like, "Hey, we got to." The way it's lined up in the military is each job has like a billet assigned to it, a number, and so they said, "Hey, we got to open slot, basically billet slot, same thing. We got to open slot for you, in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I was like, wait, they got Marines down in New Orleans? I grew up down there. I didn't even know they had a Marine Corps unit down there. Like, what the hell? And so they were like, yeah, for a re-enlistment bonus, we got a slot for you over there. And I was like, okay. Well, so I got stationed back home for a couple of years, which was interesting. And so when I got stationed back home, I sold the bikes off out on the West Coast, and I stopped riding for a little bit. So I have never rode the state of Louisiana, even though I grew up in it.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. So you just left them there, sold them, moved back home.
Yep. Interesting. And it was kind of interesting. And I drove a truck, and it was, I don't know, it just wasn't in the cards at the time. I just lost interest, I guess. So
what got you back to that passion?
Well, then I got stationed in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys in my platoon there, he rode a cruiser.
Virginia
and another
Beach is, where is that? Is that Little Creek? No, that's Virginia.
Yeah. That's all Virginia.
Okay.
Yep. Southeast Virginia, the Hampton.
I've been to Little Creek. Yeah.
Yeah. So Little Creek's right there. Yep. So I was with the Marine Corps detachment in Virginia Beach on Damnick.
Okay.
If you ever heard that base or Oceana, it's all in the same area.
Okay.
So I got stationed out there. One guy in my platoon had a cruiser. Another guy had a sport bike. We became really good buddies. Like, dude, you got to get back on two wheels. And I was like, yeah, I do. So my introduction into cruisers was when I was in Virginia Beach and I bought a Honda Shadow 750.
Good solid.
And it was, man. It really was a good bike. I mean, very reliable and good introduction back into riding too, power wise and everything like that. So we would cruise the strip of Virginia Beach, go out riding around, you know, and it was a good time. I mean, it was a good experience and everything worked out while I was down there.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, and then I bumped up to a Honda Saber 1100, and then I went to a VTX 1300. So I did like the Hondas. I had Hondas all of my riding life, for quite a while until I got the Triumph. So,
and you had the Triumph Rocket? No. What did you have?
I got the Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, which is their sort of mid-range cruiser, right?
Right. Yep. Fantastic bike, man.
I know when I was looking at bikes, the America was out, which I think was like 800cc or something like that. It was kind of middle range.
900.
Or 900. Yeah, it's a nice bike.
They are cool-looking bikes, man. Just not enough, though, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it unfortunately becomes that game, right? It's never enough.
Yep. Yeah.
And then recently you made the big move.
Aerobics. I made a big move.
let's talk about that big move that you made.
You talking about the one where I joined the Cool Kids Club?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the beard's in that club, so you have to decide whether that's the Cool Kids, but you know.
All right. Well, that remains to be seen.
Okay. So what made you go all out? I mean, well, not all out. I mean, you had a sizable bike before, but what made you buy the bike you have?
So, I was looking, I had it narrowed down to a couple of bikes. I know you saw my reveal video and some of the guys in here did as well. I was looking at the Indian Challenger and I was looking at the Road Glide. I wanted something with a fixed wing, fairing. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of fell in love with that Challenger at the IMS show that we went to this past summer. And, the wife really liked that bike too. So she just smirked at me because I think that's the one she wanted me to get. But
okay, yeah, they do that to you. Now, what IMS show did you go to?
Carlisle.
Okay,
you were at that one, right?
I was. Yeah, it's a great show.
That is, and the thing that they don't babysit you while you're out riding is kind of nice too, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit crazy because we they're like, oh, you take out whatever you want, you just bring it back. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Even Harley does that at the show too, you know?
Yeah.
And normally when you do a demo with them, it's a guided ride, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of the dealers will let you out by yourself, but it's rare anymore.
Okay.
But I thought that show was interesting and I'm looking forward to going back this year. Although if I go back this year, I probably is not a good idea. I'll wind up buying something.
Right.
Hey, right. Route 32. But yeah, I mean, it's so your wife liked it. So I assume you took it out for a while and decided that was the bike for you.
Yeah, I had it narrowed down to that one, but I still had not test rode the Road Glide. So I was like, I don't want to rule that out. I don't want to rule it out. I want to get on that, test it out, see what. So I did. I test rode that one, and I was like, holy shit. Okay. All right. I was kind of at that crossroads of they're very comparable in price, very comparable in the power. And I don't know. I just, they were very close with a lot of things. Certain things I like better than the other. But with the Road Glide, to me, and like, you know my history. I'm not tied to Harley. I've never been a Harley guy, what they claim to be a Harley guy. I'm not brand loyal. But when I test rode the Road Glide, it just something about it. I don't even know if I can explain it, but just something about it had that little extra for me. And I was pretty much sold on it when right after that test ride. And I was like, that's the bike I'm going to start shopping for.
Very nice.
So.
So yeah. How long now did you take out, what, a special?
Yeah, it was a special. It was. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep.
I mean, they have,
but I didn't wind up buying a special.
what did you buy? You bought the regular one or you bought the
limited? It's a Road Glide standard.
Okay. For some reason I thought it was a special.
No. And I didn't even know that special did a chrome version and a blacked out version until after the fact.
Yeah, that's a really nice bike.
It is, yeah.
And especially in that area, to be able to test ride a bike, there's a lot of area there to ride.
Yeah, yeah. You don't necessarily have to put it on the interstate, which is kind of nice, right?
No, because most of the rides, like you said, you take it out for 5 miles, and like, all right, you're done. You want to buy it? I'm like, it's 5 miles. Like, that's not.
Yeah, what are you getting out of that, right? Yeah,
bike's not even warmed up at that point.
I think I test rode one down at Battlefield Harley, and it was kind of the same thing. You just went up one exit, circled back around, and I was like, I didn't really get shit out of that.
Yeah. When I bought mine, I don't remember it being that long of a ride. And it was kind of like, okay, well, it's fun, but it's not, you know, I don't know what it's going to really do.
Right.
It's, right. Yeah, it kind of sucks when they only want to take you out on the short rides.
Okay.
What day did you go to the show?
I have to ask. I think we wound up going on the last day. That's all we could fit in was that Sunday.
Okay.
So when'd you go?
We went on a Friday and there was nobody there. It was the really? Strangest experience. Like, you could walk up and you could ride anything. I mean, it was just sitting there. And I think it was like $15 to get in too. It was super cheap for both of us. It was $15, buy one, get one free. It started at 1:00. I think it ended at 7:00.
Did you guys down?
Yeah. No, we took the car actually.
Oh, okay.
We didn't bring the bike with us, but it was and then they had that I wish I could remember the name of it. There's a brewery right outside the fairgrounds. It's really
Desperate Times.
Yes. We had a great time. We hung out there. It's a really nice time. I mean, if anybody gets a chance to go to the International Motorcycle Show, regardless of where it shows up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was my first one. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, and I don't know if they have it in Carlisle every year, but I think from here on out, they're going to.
Yeah, because I went to it years back when it was in New York City, and it was kind of dumb because it was just inside, and you couldn't go anywhere.
You couldn't ride anywhere, right?
Yeah, it was really lame. But I think the show has a lot to offer, especially if you're if you're on the fence. Like, I know, and it's the first time I've ever seen it. When Indian was there, they had the standard Indians, and then they had everything with the higher bars on it. So you really could test out a lot of bikes. It wasn't just, you know, showroom bikes, which I thought was really cool.
Right,
and especially last year, because everything was, parts were still so hard to get, you know, bikes were, they weren't really letting you test ride in dealers much. So it was kind of a cool experience.
I think speaking about parts, that's kind of what, deterred me a little bit from Indian as well. Mm-hmm. It just seems like their parts network and their dealership network is just kind of lagging still. Not quite there yet.
Well, and that's one of the things that we looked at when we were looking at bikes. And I'm like you, I wasn't Harley meant nothing to me. I wasn't like that guy that grew up like one day I'll have a Harley. It was like, I was just trying to find a bike that fit me and fit our needs. But when there's a dealership in every state, and especially on the highways, there's a dealership right. that feels like every right. other exit. It's yeah. just, it's such a nice bike to own from that standpoint. And plus two, you sure. can kill it. You're never going to have to replace it. If you don't want to, you don't have to ever replace it.
Yeah. And the aftermarket parts, man, there's sky's the limit. I've never looked or researched any of those companies before owning Harley. I didn't have any reason to, right? And then when I've got this one, I started looking online at some of the companies out there that support Harley. Like, holy crap, man, there is no shortage of aftermarket, you know?
There's not. And that's the thing that I think is really cool is that and of course, they give you that pitch when you go in. Like, oh, you don't like the seat? Well, we can get a seat that fits you. You don't like the bars? We'll get bars that fit you. And you're right. There's absolutely no shortage of what you can do with it.
No. Which is it's blown away. Yeah.
And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, seeing like, you know, the military biker, you, the beard, Bustin' Duck, all those guys just making the small upgrades, man. It's just like, wow, you know, HD vibe. If I missed anybody, listen, I've been watching, dude. I'm telling you guys, I've watched your mods, upgrades, gliding on twos. As many shout outs as I know, I've been watching all their videos and checking out what I can possibly do on my own and what, you know, what I would have to have done at the dealer. But yeah, I've already done a couple little small things to it already. It's been pretty easy so far. Nothing crazy, but just small little things.
So what have you done?
So I bought that. I watched Mike Will Bikes channel, and I bought that $13 modular to upgrade to CarPlay. And, okay. Man, that was a 10-minute job. The hardest part was getting the front fairing off, which was like 10 or 12 screws. Yeah. Right. You pop that front thing on, plug that thing in, put everything back. Apple CarPlay is like, shit, okay. But I think that's only for the 19 and newer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, from what I've seen. Oh, professional monkeys here. Everybody behave.
Oh, that's it. I'm done drinking now. I'm done drinking, sir.
Just having a little fun, Mike. It's fine. It's all fine. Yeah. So every time a Harley gets tab zombies, an angel gets its wings. Well, you delivered on that.
Yeah. I would say that's menacing. Yeah, the zombie. Yeah, I was like blown away by the sound of that. I was, I'm sold on that for sure. I know there's so many options out there, and my buddies Reinhardt sound pretty good, you know, and Chromeworks. I've heard yours. Mm-hmm. I bet you yours in person pretty much. You know, that's the shitty thing about YouTube, right? The microphone will never do it any justice, right?
I had tabs with zombies. I had Reinhardt 4 inches on mine. They sound good. Of course, you know, when you're coming from a Suzuki, anything sounds good, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I tried the 4.5-inch tabs with the zombie baffles. The only thing that I didn't like was that, I personally don't think it has a lot of bass to it. When you get on it, it gets very brappy. It doesn't have that throaty, deep end that the Reinhardts have. I like the Chromeworks because I think once I add headers and if I do add cams, it'll be loud enough, but it's still comfortable for a touring bike. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, I mean, Mrs. Monkey wants you to hear a bike from, you know, when she starts her bike, you probably hear from your house in PA. So, and that's cool. I mean, everybody does them. And I think that's important.
Oh, we're going to do shots on a Wednesday night.
I didn't know we were doing shots. I would have came prepared.
I know, right? I got to get the bottle.
I wasn't prepared at all.
However, this is convenience right here. I just reach on down below here and boom, a fresh beer.
Nice. Now that is convenient.
Fuck. Yeah, it is. Damn right.
So Monkey's saying they crack. Okay. Crack, brap. Yeah. Okay. Okay. They crack.
My buddy who went with, you know, kind of guided me along because he's been riding Harley his whole life. Army veteran, retired Army first sergeant. He was like, hey, you know, these zombie baffles. He's like, I really do love them. He's like, but for my Harleys, he's like, I like that deep. And he said exactly what you said. He said, I like that deeper tone. And he's like, I don't think Tab quite has that, but they sound damn good. Hey, Scouse is in the house. I guess I have to get my crayons out.
Jason is very nice to you. Oh, Scouse is here. Scouse, how you doing, buddy? He's going through some stuff. We won't say the word, which will get us banned, but he's going through some stuff.
Yeah.
I hope you have a speedy recovery there, sir.
Okay. I must have missed that.
I believe he got the C word.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know. Yeah. Damn, I didn't even know that was still a thing.
You know, it's funny. He's the second person that I know this week that came down with it.
Goddamn Florida, man. He went down to Florida.
Yeah. You know. Wonder if his voice will change. Do you think he'll sound any different afterwards?
I don't know, but I got to give him some crayons. That'll help him recover faster.
We should send him some crayons. You're right.
Yep. And it's the only Crayola brand.
No, so you funny. Have... So what tuner do you have on your bike, before I forget? So you have... Do you know what the bike was tuned for? Because you bought it used.
No, I do. It's in a saddlebag. I forgot the name.
I was just curious because I've noticed a big difference since I put stage one on it that the pipes sound more aggressive. Considering it's not fully tuned yet. I have to do the auto-tune session, but it's not.
Okay.
Or monkey's here. Or I may replace it. I don't know. The verdict's out there.
Do you have to dyno tune that?
No. So one of the things with the FP3 that I liked was it was plug and play. You can do it with your phone. So when you go through like a tank to two tanks of gas, and you can do the auto tune.
Okay.
It's not as aggressive as a Dynajet tuner or other tuners.
Right. You'll never beat a dyno, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm probably going to, I bought it from Amazon and I had some questions. They told me I could return it. Now, whether that turns out to be true or not, I'd be shocked that you could return it, but
you remember what the price tag on that was?
I want to say it was like $350. It wasn't that high. And they say you can return it because it's through Amazon. Now,
okay.
In talking to Monkey and other people, I think I'm going to go and just get a Dynajet tuner. And there's a place, Route 32 is here, which actually is a sponsor of our channel. Thank you for joining, sir. He was giving out pamphlets in his store of a place that in Levittown, it's right across the bridge from us, that will Dynatune your bike. I want to say it's like $500.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
And the run.
Yeah.
You know, Monkey, I get what you're saying with the no returns, but Amazon's saying you can return it. So I don't know. I'm dumb enough to try it, but neither here nor there.
I would say to Dynatune, they're going to be able to pinpoint, right? Get that thing dialed in big time.
Yeah. And I'm finding now that I was surprised how much difference there really was. And now I kind of want to go to cams because now I'm like, okay, I mean, I've never had a Harley. I've never did a stage one. I was shocked last night when Kate and I went out, I was surprised. The bike feels like it did with just one up now with two up. So it feels like it definitely has more power to it.
Are you, looking to get a specific cam or in mine, or are you going to reach out to Pro Monkey or?
I'm just going to reach out to Pro Monkey and whatever he tells me, I'll buy. I'm a sucker.
There you go. There you go. You can't go wrong.
That's on fire.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched his videos before, right? And a lot of his install videos before when I just had the Triumph.
Oh, there it is. Like, so this is Dominic, who is nice enough to sponsor our channel. He's Throttle City, yes. You've known him since high school. I was actually going to call you this morning and ask you, but that's who I'm going to go to have my bike dynatuned because he's. Okay. To your point, I can't imagine a computer can do it better than a person, especially if I put cams in it.
No way, man. Yep. That goes for, I mean, everything. Like my truck's the same way, you know, I had a Dynatune when I upgraded or whatever. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to run that out, but I'm at the point where I love my bike so much and so much that I've done to it. I'm kind of losing the urge to get another bike. And I love the 103. I think it's plenty of motor for me, especially after seeing what a simple stage one did without the headers. So,
right.
I am hooked. Stage two, Cam's Lori. Okay, I'll take advice. I'm taking advice. You throw it in the side chat what cams I should buy. We'll consider it. Bodine's here. Mr. Bodine, sir, how are you?
Hey, Bodine, what's going on, man?
Yeah, 6'8". Well, are we going to start about how tall I am again? Jesus. all right.
Back to the brow-beating brow. Oh,
man, you know, the internet has turned on me recently.
Hey, it'll do that in a heartbeat, man. You blink an eye.
So you have the I'm by myself tonight. I got no idea what I'm doing. So you got the do you have headers on yours too?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh man, you got a hell of a deal then. That's a great dealership, by the way.
Yeah, I was
Holder, come on. What is with the side chat? Jeez.
Yeah, I was looking at, I did want to buy it from Appalachian Harley. They didn't have any inventory whatsoever, man. It was like so bad. And March is a hot cake month for selling bikes. And so I kind of searched around and I found that Chesapeake Harley Davidson, and man, they had quite a big inventory. That's a big fucking dealership.
Mm-hmm.
That place is huge. So I was impressed.
I went down there. Oh, when was it? Went down there with my dad. My dad's in photography, as am I. We went down to the dam to photograph the Eagles. And have you ever been down to the dam, the viewing platform?
Yeah,
down there?
Yeah. Is it Harbor Safe? The Harbor Safe Dam?
I'm not sure what the dam is called, but the it was. He's like, "Oh, Brian, you got to come down. There's bald eagles." I'm like, "Okay, we're gonna see like one or two bald eagles." You can't see for the bald eagles. It almost looks fake. You're like, wait a minute. There's so many eagles down here. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Just where that. Yeah. That's where that the Susquehanna links up with the Chesapeake Bay, man. There's a bunch of them down through there.
It's a fantastic ride. And that dealership's very welcoming. I was down there. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Definitely. It was funny too, because when I was buying a bike, I told her they had the ST seat on it, and I told them with no floorboards, and I told them, I was like, "There's no fucking way I'm bringing this bike home." And she's like, "Why not?" And I was like, "If I don't have a two-up seat, a sissy bar, floorboards, there's no way I could bring this bike home to the wife." And she's like, she winked at me, and she's like, "Let me see what I can do." She went over to parts guy. Parts guy came back. She's like, "All those parts are going to cost about $700-$800. We'll just charge you $300 for them." Okay. Okay. Sold. Yeah, she took good care of me. I was like, wow.
I have to laugh. When we bought our bike, we got it with the, I want to say it had the standard touring seat on it, but when we test rode it, it had a tall boy seat on it. We rode two different bikes. My wife didn't like the tall boy, and the guy was like going on and on, like, "Oh, but if I swap the seat, you know, I could get in trouble." I'm like, "That's not my problem."
Right.
You really don't want to sell this bike. Like any,
I was say, you want to make a deal or not?
Yeah. Like you go into that dealership, they can fix anything. There's no problem they can't solve.
Yeah.
And that's great that you had such a good experience there.
Yeah. And I would say this, here's what was funny about that week. I went to the Indian dealer that week, local Indian dealer. It's in Elizabethtown, PA. So if you're familiar with that area, so I went to, they're the only dealership within the capital city area. And the other one is up by State College. But, so I walked in there and this, I won't say the dealership's name. I just kind of say it's an Indian dealer. It's in the central PA area. And, man, the guy was a total prick, man, total prick. So, I went in uniform, man. Cause, our unit's right down, not far from there. And, we get our Polaris's serviced there, our military Polaris's, we get them serviced there. So, you know, a couple times a year. So I went in there and talked to the guy. I was like, "Hey, you know, what deals do you guys got going on? Blah, blah, blah." Which was funny though, because a couple months prior I was there picking up one of our Polaris's and I said, "Hey, you heard about that Indian Pursuit?" He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I was like, "The Indian Pursuit motorcycle? You haven't seen it? Like, do you live under a fucking rock?" He's like, I was like, "It's all over YouTube." And he's like, "Oh, you're going to believe everything you hear on the internet?" And I was like, "Why are you being so condescending, dude?"
Yeah,
I was
that's like, a little weird.
He's like, reputable YouTubers that I follow and make their money by promoting and advertising. I have talked about this damn Pursuit. It's coming out. So then when I went back that day, I was like, hey, what do you think about that Pursuit? He was like, oh, well, we don't have any in the dealership yet. I said, I didn't ask you that, bro. I was like, I'm just asking your opinion. What do you think about the Pursuit? Because obviously I was making a jab, you know, throwing a jab at his ass for the bullshit he gave me a couple months prior. And so there was a Challenger there I was looking at. It was a 21. It only had like 1,000 miles on it or something like that. So I was like, hey, where are you at on this bike right here? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And then they had but I really went to go look at they had a Road Glide Limited there with the King Tour pack speakers, the whole nine yards. It was really decked out. And then what kind of grabbed me was it had a Marine Corps Eagle Globe and Anchor cover tank, gas tank cover on it.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, oh shit, is it meant to be? Is this shit meant to be? And my buddy was with me, right? And he was like, I think that bike's got your name all over it. But that guy was being such an asshole about it all. I was like, I can't deal with this guy. And that's when my other buddy, I texted him that the one that kind of helped me along with Harley. And he's like, hey, man, you need to come look at this bike. And he had the picture of the bike I bought. He's like, you need to go look at this one, dude. This is the bike right here. And I was like, all right. So I left that dude. And if I was going to buy from that dealer, I would have just walked up to the manager and I was like, I'm going to buy a bike from you, but not from that prick.
From that dude over there, okay?
Yeah. So I'm done with them now. All I do is take our Polaris is there to get service, and that's a wrap. I'll never buy a bike from those assholes. Here's what was funny. They were just recently bought out, too.
Oh, that's funny. We have an Indian dealership up by us. It was the same way. I walked around. Nobody even waited on me. I'm like,
yeah.
My number one thing from starting out like in a customer service background when I was younger is like nothing upsets me more than I have to beg to spend my money. Like, especially when you're looking at a $30,000 bike, you're like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do I have to beg here?
Hey, you guys don't want to make it. Okay. You don't want to do the work to make the sale. You want to be a bunch of lazy assholes. Okay, cool.
It surprises me in this day and age. I asked our local dealer who will not be named. I serviced my bike there. They're fine for that. But I said to the guy, I said, the question for you, since you sell bikes to MSRP, he goes, well, it really depends. I'm like, so that would be a no. I'm
like, come on. Yeah. Hard no, motherfucker.
They were the same people that wanted to sell me a Road Glide at like $4,000 over the list. I'm like, you're drunk. Go home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so hard to find a good deal right now because everything's at MSRP and then above, right? So
I wouldn't have a problem with MSRP if that's, you know, if it's MSRP, I can say, okay, well, you're selling at MSRP. But when you're making these like crazy inflated prices playing the four square game and you're telling me, oh, it's this, oh, but it's that, and it's just like, oh man.
Right. Yeah,
I don't have time for it. We have a dealership about an hour from us, Williams Harley Davidson. We went in on a Sunday.
You got your Dixon on tonight, there, bud?
No, I don't. man, why is everybody turning on me? Everybody's mean to me.
Ah, man. Yeah.
I think the Dixons represent that I'm an individual. Never mind that everybody else has the same one. It's like Harley, right? Does anybody remember that Harley commercial where they was we're united by our independence? Huh?
Yeah.
United by being independent. Okay.
Everybody got the same fucking bike.
Yeah. I'm a lone wolf, no club kind of guy. That's how I
remember. Oh shit. Well, let's not go down that road. You got the patch to prove it.
I tried to hook Denver up with a t-shirt, but he wouldn't wear it. That might be why he's not actually here today. So,
He don't want to do the lone wolf thing with the patch and a shirt.
Yeah, right? He doesn't want to end up dead in a ditch, but you know, times are tough.
Yeah, it was funny tonight because at the VFW riders came out and said, hey, you know, we want to take a picture with your chapter and post it up on our page. And it was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. And so they came out, took a picture with us, but they're like, hey, wait a minute. We got to get one of your vests turned around so we know who we're taking a picture with. So the guy came over and was like, hey, can I see your vest? To one of our guys. And my guy's like, the face was priceless. He was like, You ain't no, you're not touching my fucking vest. Are you kidding me? Like, so one of the VFW riders came out and he was like, hey, if you want to hold one side of my vest, that's fine. But you know, that's about where we draw the fucking line. But his face was priceless because he was almost like at all, like what if this guy wants to wear my vest or like, what does he want to do?
What, do you want to sit on my bike next and pose for pictures? Yeah. I mean, we all know how that ends.
Yeah, with my vest on?
Yeah, it's a smart idea. It'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah. It was kind of weird, but it was all, like, it was very kosher. It was not a big deal, but it was funny. when people don't know, they don't know, right? You know?
So. Yeah, it's I find it funny, and I fall into that. It's like, my car needs service. You know, we'll get to it. We'll get the oil change eventually. The bike needs service. I'm on the phone the same day. Like, get it in. You know,
that's funny.
Can't let anything happen to my baby. So what? What are your thoughts? I mean, so you went from the Triumph. You went to the Road Glide. I mean, you sold. Are you still on the fence? What's the good and bad?
I'm very happy with it. It rides good. And actually, I changed the suspension. I raised the ass end an inch to 13 inches from the stock 12. That made a pretty big difference. Corners a lot better. But I was kind of bummed out. I mean, with the stock suspension, it was like, shit, what the, you know, you spend this much on a bike, you would expect, but kind of researching Harley and everything, I guess the two upgrades everybody makes first is suspension and exhaust, right? That's to be expected, but I didn't really realize that though. And I tried to dial in the stock ones, you know, with the knob and everything. I just couldn't get it dialed in, man. I was like, this is terrible fucking ride. So
yeah, we had the air suspension on the 2014. The first one leaked.
I heard about that.
And you know, we did like a 200 mile ride, and by halfway through it's bottoming out. We had no idea it was leaking. And it was just terrible.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's my suspension, Ken. Unfortunately, I think it's this PC. We got to deal with that.
Yeah.
So what suspension did you go to?
So I'm not bougie like some of you guys with the fucking Legends and old.
What is with this bougie shit? Word, man? Come on. We're not bougie.
So I went with Progressive.
Nice. And how do you like them?
I would say that there's a little bit more tweaking to dial them in, but I'm pretty close to dialing them in. And for me, it's been a great ride. It's been night and day for me. You know, I know the name brands are, you know, they, you know, you get what you pay for sometimes and everything like that. But I think for a fraction of the cost, I think they're solid. I mean, maybe eventually, you know, I'll need to upgrade to something bigger and badder, but I'm not quite there yet. So, but I like them.
It's I mean, I'll freely admit I bought Legends because that was what everyone talks about, you know. And
right.
I mean, it's a nice ride. Love them, but I don't know any different either. I was just so pissed off. It was like the money was almost money's not irrelevant, but I'm just like, whatever you can get me, just put on these things because it's
terrible. Oh really?
Yeah, it was an absolutely horrible ride. And it's amazing that people will go out and do a stage one before they'll put exhaust or handlebars or seat on, which fascinates me. But
yeah, I'm starting to look at some seat options. But honestly, the stock seat isn't. I did a 240 mile ride on a stock seat, and I was fine.
Yeah,
I was like, this ain't bad. Like, I'm okay. Now I have a Mustang on a Triumph, and obviously it's broken in and everything. And that, I mean, damn, that's an amazing seat. So I don't know if I'll eventually go back to Mustang since I know their quality, they're a good seat. I don't know.
That's what I run on mine. And it took a considerable time to break in, but once it broke
they do.
Yep. And it's weird. I didn't notice at first until, like halfway through a ride, I'm like, you know, I'm not doing this. I'm not rocking back and forth. I'm not getting hot spots. It's a really good seat. Which one Mustang do you have?
On the Triumph?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I don't know. I don't know. It's just Mustang brand. I don't know which. I mean, I would imagine each Mustang seat for each manufacturer is probably something different, but I don't know the name of the exact model.
Okay.
So I was fortunate enough. The Mustang seat was on the bike when I bought it. So
nice. Yeah.
So it came with a two up or a Mustang seat, which was nice about Triumph is, the rider seat versus the pillion seat are two different seats. So you could knock that one off, take off the quick release sissy bar and luggage rack and backrest. And so it almost kind of looks bobberish when you strip it down a little bit.
Yeah. It's, they make really nice seats. We have the backrest for it too. It's a really nice bike. Nice seat. I mean, it's like anything. It was hard to get. They were going, right. I want to say they doubled in price. I bought mine on Amazon and they doubled in price within like a month because you couldn't get them.
Oh, wow. Wow. I would say what really pissed me the fuck off was, we did that bunny run, for the children's hospital. And that was the wife's first decent amount of riding on the Road Glide. Well, that was her first ride. And we got back that night, she kind of was talking about it. She's like, and that was with the stock seat and with the stock backrest. And she was like, I hate to say it, Grant, but that the Triumph is much more comfortable ride. And I was like, oh, that's it. I got to do something. I got to figure something out because I can't have her pissed off on the back.
Baby, don't take my bike. Come on.
I got to figure this shit out quick. So,
okay.
We're looking at I need to get a King Tour pack for her. I'm going to have to. I didn't want one because I don't like to look per se, but the functionality and quick release, it'll be fine. So I'm kind of starting to look at those now.
The King or the even the Chop can work with the full size backrest, but the
okay.
It's weird with the King because once you put the King on there, that's all my wife likes. Because I had a Razor, and my wife's like, I don't like this because I feel like I'm gonna fall off. Because she loves that she's so locked in the seat.
Oh yeah,
It makes a huge difference, and there, I mean, there's nothing sexy about that back, you know, that tour pack, but it's very, very. And once you realize how much shit you can put in there too, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's what my buddy was saying.
In that bike.
Yeah, my buddy rides a Ultra, and he was out tonight, and he started talking to me about it, and he's like, dude, I could fit everything but the kitchen sink back here, man. He's like, for touring, dude, you're gonna love it, man. When we go moto camping, dude, he's like, this is what you want, man. I was like, eh, okay. So
you put that rack on the top too. You can add even more stuff.
Oh yeah. Her biggest complaint was, I think, not so much how shitty the suspension was. I think it was the fact that, and I don't know if any of you guys noticed this, but she was like, from the Triumph, she sat about 6-7 inches behind me, and I couldn't even feel her back there. She sat so far behind. With this one, she was like all up on me, which, you know, who the fuck, I don't mind. but she didn't like the fact that she couldn't like get her, you know, get to her pockets, pull her phone out and all that, because she was like right up on, and you know, she wanted, and I guess with the touring pack, that'll slide her back about 6 to 8 inches. That's what she said.
Yeah. I noticed that too with the tour pack. I think it has like an inch or so of slide, and we put it all the way back, and it gives you a little bit more room because I have the extended seat, the extended reach seat. Okay. So it throws you back a bit.
That's what I need to do then. So even if that slid you back, does that slide her back farther too?
So the seat moves you back about an inch and 3/4 maybe. And then the mounts in the tour pack allow it to go, I think, about an inch maybe back. It's not huge, but it's enough that it makes up some of that room.
Okay. Yeah, that's her biggest complaint. She just wants to be further back. So
yeah. It's you kind of have to figure out what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a touring pack, like having space, some people don't, you know, it's all relative.
Yeah. I think for her, she is going to want that touring pack. Cause you know, she's been harping on me. She's like, you know, you promised me a damn cup holder back there and I hadn't seen that shit yet. I'm like, oh God.
Oh man. So, now it ends.
So I got to figure that out too.
Yeah. It's once you get that that sort of luxury, it's really easy to get ruined. Yes. And you can buy a setup that pushes you even further back. That's true too.
Okay. I'll have to get with him and figure out what the best option for that is.
Cause our backrest, I think, is like an extra, maybe an extra inch to a half inch on the arms on the side, but they make the ones that swing out. I mean, they make all kinds of crazy stuff back there.
Do you ever follow, interesting, bringing the wives in, the story, but you ever listen to the Five Dirty Bikers podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear their latest episode where they're talking about wives riding on the back?
I have not.
Okay, yeah, you got to check that episode out. It's pretty good because it's very relatable to what, like, myself and probably you and some of the other guys that go two up. It's funny because they had brought up about, like, when you ride with your wife, do you guys talk to each other? Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, fuck no, man. I'm fucking no, hell no. I'm still fucking in my zone and doing my thing. And that's kind of where we are. Because mm-hmm. I talked to my wife one time and I was like, do you want us to get comms? And she's like, no. It's like, I don't talk to you when I'm on a bike. I was like, me neither. Man, we got this shit. We got it worked out. So that's where we are. We don't want to communicate when we're riding. She's in her zone. Looking at things, I'm in my zone, looking at things, and we're totally happy with that.
Yeah, this is the first time we had Bluetooth comms, and they were okay. And then once I went to the wired comms on the bike, I find that we talk less because I know that there's not, like, she's there. Like, I can talk to her. We've become more comfortable on the bike.
Yeah.
But the, there's sometimes where you're just like, yeah, I don't want to just, like, forget it. Take the half helmets. We won't even talk. So Ritz, I will be at the Baggers and Brews ride for sure. We've already booked that on. Katie's going to be there and I'm going to hold off putting my bars on my bike. So I definitely will be there. So De Beers.
Oh, you haven't put them on yet?
Not yet. They're going.
Okay. What I guess the video will reveal what you went with.
Please approve my message to Winroad Therapy. Hold on, monkey. monkey's being needy. Hold on here.
All right. Yeah. You got to cater to the masses, man.
Oh, come on. This is hard, man. Single man operation. Anybody wants to sponsor, man. Give me a secretary, man.
Yeah, where's your backup plan, man? He fucking went, went really high hard. And right tonight, huh?
Monkey, no, where no different, your... man. Where was your message? I don't see it. I just switched over to YouTube. Give me one second.
See, at least the beard has a tech guy, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the problem with getting good help. Oh, hold on. So Michael, so guys, I'm sorry. I didn't see the side chat. I'm on the other side of it, so I didn't see it. Oh, so First Manufacturing. Now I see it, Monk. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But so we'll be going to, so I'm going to wait and do the bar upgrade after the Baggers and Brews ride. Cuz I want to do it myself and film it, and my fear is if I get stuck, I don't want to miss a ride because I'm in my driveway being a yahoo, cuz I don't have a garage, so I have to do it outside. So it'll be kind of interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So where do you store your bike at? Do you just put a cover on it?
No, I have a trailer. I put my bike in the trailer, but to film, it's going to be really hard to film in the trailer.
So do you put it in a trailer every day you're done riding, or
how's that work? It lives in the trailer unless it's going to be like one of these days where, like, I'm riding and I'm going to go out first thing in the morning, then I leave it outside.
But man, I'm telling you, this is fucking convenient.
I need one of those. I got to get it. That's what I need, a refrigerator sponsor. I'm going to work on that next.
I'm working on my crayon sponsor.
There you go.
I think Crayola will come through for me.
the it works out because my township wanted to get, I had to get all kinds of approval. I could only get a 10 by 10 shed. I could only do this. I could only do that. My wife came home one day. She's like, we're getting a trailer. So like, let's go. We went to the place down the street. I don't know. 2 hours later, it was in my driveway and the bike was in there and put away and it's fine. Okay. And it's good too, because eventually if we do decide that we want a trailer, we can.
Yeah. Yeah. You have that option for sure. Yep. Yeah.
So it's, I don't mind it. I think the trailer is actually really handy because I can put all my bike stuff in there. I have plenty of room. And the only downside is when you're working on the bike, you know, you're working outside. You're not, you know, I probably could work in the trailer, but it's a little hard.
Yeah. That does have to be tough, especially in a winter.
But it's, I'm going to put the bars in and do it in my driveway. I mean, I guess it doesn't get more real than that for an install. If you can install it in your driveway.
No, dude, that'd be like a side of the road install, right?
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, I mean, the kit says it's pretty easy. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I'm,
I hate when it says it's easy.
Yeah. Right.
And it never fucking works out that way when it says it's easy.
I was like, well, you said it was easy and you gave me your number. So I'm just saying I may be calling. But
I hear the biggest problem sometimes is trying to fit that wire through that top part. A lot of people seem to struggle with that.
I have the Fatbagger Ink bars, which are two piece. They're split in the middle.
Okay.
So they're easier to wire in theory. Again, I've never done it, but I know that when I did the first pair at my dealer, the smaller pair, it saved me, I want to say like an hour or two in labor, because it was so easy to do it. And I really don't want to wimp out. I'd like to be able to say I did it myself. I just need pliers. Yeah, that'll work. And so it'll be cool.
Harbor Freight tools, man.
Yeah. I've actually really enjoyed working on the bike. You know, it's something I'm learning. I never was super mechanically inclined, but I'm finding the more and more I do, the more and more I like.
Well, you become more in tune with the bike, right? I mean, I worked on my Triumph consistently. I did all the service on it. And the only thing I didn't do was a tire change and stuff like that. But everything, I installed a stereo on it. And yeah, you feel more in tune with the bike, you know. However, all of the bikes that I've ever owned prior were metric bikes, right? So all of my fucking tools are metric tools. All of my more specialty type tools like ratchet wrenches, style wrenches, all of my better type of tools are all metric. So I've made a couple fucking trips to Harbor Freight already trying to fix that situation.
Yeah, and that's always the thing that I'm always looking for. It's like, now I got to make sure I have the right tools. But it's a good challenge. Hang on a second. I just want to do some here. I just wanted to get Route 32's number up there because somebody had asked a question.
Scout said he's gonna have to deal or do his bars. He don't want to fuck with it.
Well, you can't blame him.
Yeah.
He seems like the guy that would take, he seems like the guy that would take a mallet to it and just start beating it senseless.
That's probably what I would do. Fucking start throwing wrenches at it.
Yeah. That's the only thing I got to tell you that sucks about doing the YouTube thing is that there's those times where, like, I put the air filter on when I did the root, when I did the stage one air filter, it was on clearance. It was no big deal. So it wasn't really worth putting a video together for it. And I was just doing it outside with my kid. And I'm like, this is fun. Like, I'm not filming it. Like, you know, it's just
right. Right.
It's kind of fun because I feel like once you film it, it takes a 5-minute job and turns it into a 15-hour job because you're like, that didn't go right.
So that happened with the shocks, right? And then I did finally wind up getting enough to put it together. And then I lost all that footage because my SD card crashed. So I had to reformat it and lost all that data. It's like, fuck. Yeah. So I was like, everybody's done shock videos on YouTube because of shit.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things where you want the content, but it takes away from the joy of being with your bike.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. And I like my son to come out and wrench with me for the most part. Like, he'll come out and he did the the shocks with, and he'll do those type of things. So I, you know, and I'm trying to teach him that skill set and be like, hey, dude, just do it. Here's the plan, do it. And for the most part, he can. So, and he's 12. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, there's so much joy to doing that. It's not something that I would have thought of necessarily right away, but it's definitely a yeah. lot of fun.
Yeah. And my 12-year-old, he rides with me everywhere. So I'm pretty blessed as far as that goes. He rode with me to bike night tonight. I called him on a cell and I was like, hey, after I get off work, do you want to go to bike night? He's, you know, his response was, heck yeah. I was like, okay, be ready at 5:30. We'll go.
That's awesome. I took my youngest out for the first time on the bike this weekend. It was great.
Okay.
He's 17. So he was really apprehensive. He wanted to sit on it, help me wash it, help me with it, but he was very kind of shy about it. And I kind of made the pact with him. I was like, you know, I'm never going to ask you. When you're ready, you're ready. And I mean, not that I wouldn't ask him. I've talked to him here and there about it, but then he finally wanted to go out on it. He loved it. So it was a really cool moment. Yeah. It's always cool when your kids get that enjoyment from it.
Speaking of kids, man, I'm about to put a third fucking bike in the garage.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my 19-year-old daughter passed the MSF course, so she's a licensed rider now. And so she's really loving these sport bikes, but I'm like, wait a fucking minute here. Hold on. She's like, well, that was your first bike. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. But I'm looking at getting her probably a naked sport bike, you know, without all the fairings you sit upright on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if there's another name for it. That's the way I hear it. It's called a naked sport bike.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm kind of looking for something late 90s, early 2000, something that, you know, she's going to drop it, right? It's her first bike. That's going to happen. So about, you know, the 2000-ish price range for that. So we're kind of looking around right now. The market's kind of hit and miss right now.
How's the market by you still insane?
Some days are like you get on a Facebook Marketplace or Cycle Trader, and some days are really good, and some days you're like, holy shit, where'd that bike go? So it's moving fast right now.
Yeah. So, because I know it. During the whole lockdown, the market was insane. I mean, you couldn't.
Oh yeah, there was no inventory, right? So the wife took the course too with her with the daughter, and day two came around, and she wound up, you know, a little bit rough on day one. Rolled off the pad, didn't hit anything or anything like that, but just rolled off the pad, and that scared the shit out of her. And it just seems like she never bounced back from that. So day two comes around, and she's like. And like for us as rider coaches, you know, if somebody we see is a detriment to the class or themselves, we will counsel them out of the course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, hey, look, courses are free. We just want you to take it again. You know, and that's kind of nice about PA, right? The courses are free. So
day two comes around. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So day two comes around. She raises her hand about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. They're going to be testing that at like 2 o'clock. And she's like, hey, sir, I'm done. I'm done. And it's like, he's like, wait a minute. So he pulled her to side and is like, what's going on? He's like, I'm not counseling you out or anything. You're doing okay. And she's like, I don't want to ride. I'm done. I just want to ride with my husband on the back. I'm good. So, and that's kind of where she was. She was like, you know what? I felt like I accomplished what I needed to. And reason why I took the course is if shit hit the fan with you while we're out and about and we're two up, I could get the bike out of harm's way if need be. And she feels like she can do that now. So,
yeah,
you know, good to go.
And I think that that's positive too, because I think anyone that you push through that class is anyone that wants to push through it. Sometimes that's not the best thing. Sometimes it's
regroup
and do it again.
Right. Yeah.
That's gotta be a great experience for you though. Being able to teach people to ride.
Yeah. It is. And just kind of what's interesting is, you know, you really only get 2 days with everybody as a new rider.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the evolution from day one to day two just kind of blows your mind. You're like, damn, like and especially people that never rode before, that really blows your mind. At, you know, when you look back, you're like, wow, you know, they really started getting it on day two. And obviously, the basic rider course really doesn't teach you to ride, right? It doesn't. It just gives you the fundamentals, and it gives you what you need to work on to become a safe rider, a good rider. And that's it. You need to do further on training, whether it's you and your bike going out to a parking lot and doing some, you know, good old Robert Simmons type training, or or that type of stuff. But you know, but it at least gives you the fundamentals to begin. And but me, yeah, I won't hesitate to counsel somebody out if I feel like, you know, they're going to be a detriment to themselves or unsafe to the rest of the students, and unsafe to themselves, you know, when they get a license too. So, you know, being a threat to everybody else on the road too.
That's fair. So Corey had a question. How did you become a rider coach?
I did a video on that already, and it's out there on YouTube, the step-by-step way to do it. But in a nutshell, the best way to do it, to start, where you get started, is go on the website for MSF. Once you go on a website and you put a type in rider coach, certified rider coach, and it'll have all the prerequisite stuff and what you need to do to contact your local SF coordinator. And they have it broken down state by state. And but I got my start through the military took care of my course for me because they wanted me certified, because they wanted me to teach both on the military and civilian side as well. Okay. So they took care of the cost. But the cost for the course itself is about $300, $400. But if you go, when you turn around and teach, I think it's 10 courses, they reimburse you all that money back. Nice. So it's a good deal. Yeah. So so in a nutshell, that's kind of where you want to start, is going on a website, seeing all the prerequisite stuff, and then working with your local state rep, and then going from there. But it's a 4-day course. The first 2 days they teach you how to teach, and then a Saturday and Sunday that you're in the course, you and the rest of the students, however many, it could be up to like 8 instructors that they manage to become instructors, candidates to become instructors. So all you 8 will teach a live course on that Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
So they throw you right in the fucking fire right away.
That's a lot.
I got a funny story about mine. The lead instructor, he was with a 3-digit agency, and he retired from that agency. So, and he was in the military prior to that 3-digit agency, and he knew I was a jarhead, a crayon eater. And, the one day he's like, "Hey, I want you to, they had Groms out there." And I was like, "Fuck yeah. I want to play with the Grom. Hell yeah." And, he's like, "Hey, he's like, I want you to go over here and do an emergency stop, and don't endo the fucking bike. Do you understand? Don't endo the bike."
Oh,
I was like, "Okay, yeah, not a problem. I got this shit. Don't worry. I fucking shit. You tell a Marine not to do something, what are we going to do?" Man, I endoed the shit. I was straight vertical. That ass end was vertical like a motherfucker on there. And he I overheard him talking to the rest of the to candidates. And he's like, "You see what happens when you tell a Marine what not to do? What's going to happen?" He's like, "I wanted him to endo that bike, and he did."
That's awesome.
Those Groms are fun. They're fun, man.
I would love to try one. That's that they look.
Oh, like they're a blast. Yeah.
Good night, Route 32. And they are cool. So you're heading to Sturgis this year, right?
Hell yes, I am. Hell yeah. Me and Scouse are gonna freaking go glassing around Sturgis.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So
is that your first time?
Yeah, it will be. And hopefully we'll run into some of you guys out there on the live chat. I know Pro Monkey will be there for sure. Jonesy, I think we'll link up with him. And just anybody else, man, wants to come out and have a shot, man. I'll do a shot with any of you guys.
Yeah, I think Harley Fatboy Jr. is going out. There's a lot
of man
going out this year.
Yeah, you going to be able to make it out, Bry?
Not this year, no. It's okay. On my list, just not this year.
Have you ever been?
Year's going, no.
Okay.
Now, I haven't been, and it's funny. I think it was 2 years ago. I had a chance to go. I had a free place to stay, but they asked me like with like a couple weeks to go. I'm like, I can't just drop what I'm doing to go.
Right.
Right. I would have loved to, especially for, you know, being free. But
that kind of unfolded pretty quick because Scout
Windroad was like, hey.
Okay. Yeah. Scout said, he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm going to start, you know, mate, you going? And I was like, I don't know. Fuck, that's a great idea. Okay, hold on. Let me get back to you. And I started talking to the wife, and she's like, do you have Gabe that week? And I was like, no. She's like, fucking go to Sturgis. I'm like, okay. Okay, copy that. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't have to ask me twice.
Yeah. She was like, if you don't have anything going on, she's like, you teach motorcycle classes and pay your way. I was like, all right.
That's awesome. That's going to be a great experience. And you're riding out? Yeah.
No. I went back and forth with it a couple times, and I just thought that 1,600 miles, that if I get out there after riding 1,600 miles, then I don't want to, you know, I'm going to be like, fuck this, man. I don't want to ride. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, you know, not to say that I couldn't do it, but I don't want to get there and be disgruntled and be like, God damn, we got to go on this ride. And I'm hating life right now. So I want to be able to get there and be functional and be ready to ride. So I think I'm just going to trailer it out.
That's fair.
So, cool. And I paid for a trailer pass already, so I'm good to go. And then with the truck, you know, we'll be able to have a bunch of shit, like a grill and all that stuff too. So I think it'll be kind of carrying the load for Scouts.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Regardless how you get there, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, a lot of guys trailer out there. You want to give me shit for trailering? Go fuck yourself. I don't care. That's what I'm doing.
I completely agree. If you're there, you're there. Yeah. It really doesn't matter. So right. We hit the hour and wrap up. So where can folks find you on YouTube, Instagram?
Okay. I'm on. So
I'll put the links in the bio too, but.
Okay. Yep. YouTube, Marine Rider, simple, just Marine Rider. Instagram, Marine Rider 1. And I'm on Facebook as well, Marine Rider as well. So, and that's it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely awesome. I really appreciate you coming out, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Pull you from bike night, but I do appreciate
it. Nah, man. It was worth it, man. I had to get, you know, kids got school tomorrow. I got to be up at Zero Dark early for work, man. So, no worries.
No worries at all. Cool. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight or stopping in tonight. We will be back on next week. Same time, same bat station. And hope everyone's week is going well. And please remember, you're not alone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Good night, man. Appreciate it.
Oh.